This is Ozarks at Large. Arkansas politics took some unexpected twists last year, making 2013 a more fascinating year than was originally expected. Arkansas Attorney General Dustin McDaniel began the year as the expected Democratic gubernatorial nominee, but was out of the race before it really began. Former Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter then announced he would run for governor, then he bowed out of the race. Former Congressman Mike Ross left politics in 2013, only to be the expected Democratic gubernatorial nominee by the end of the year. The state treasurer, an influential state senator, and the lieutenant governor all either left their offices or prepared to do so because of ethics-related scandal. Now comes 2014, with a narrowly passed private option for Medicare, supported by a bipartisan group of legislators last year, in danger of being defunded by the legislature this winter. This week, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas talked about the politics of 2013 and 2014 with Rex Nelson. Nelson served in Mike Huckabee's administration, is a former editor at the Arkansas Gazette, a current columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and he's also the president of the Association for Arkansas Independent Colleges and Universities. He told Roby he figured out in the span of a half hour last year that Arkansas's 2013 political year was unusual.
You know, the one afternoon it really hit me a few weeks ago is my phone rang, and it was the national political correspondent Karen Tumulty from the Washington Post. And then 30 minutes later it rang, and it was Jonathan Martin, the national political correspondent from the New York Times, wanting to talk about Arkansas. And I'm like, it's like the old days. It's like 1992, the presidential race. There's a real focus on us. We don't have anybody running for president because it's not a presidential year, but we've got the most watched Senate race in
right.
the country, and of course a governor's race that'll be watched.
And you were down at the Coon Supper, and mm-hmm. you saw there was a ton of national correspondents.
That's a great example. ABC was there. MSNBC was there. One of the national political correspondents for the Associated Press was there. You know, you always have Arkansas media down at the Coon Supper, but never seen that much national media in Gillette, Arkansas, I can assure you.
I'm sure they were accommodating with Wi-Fi and satellite trucks.
You know,
yeah, exactly. Let's talk about some things happening a little bit more locally here. Just this past week, GOP wins a major victory and a landslide victory. Mm-hmm. Special election up in Northeast Arkansas to replace Senator Bookout. John Cooper beats Steve Rockwell, the Democrat. It appeared to me that the Darr resignation impeachment drama had played no role in that race at all.
None whatsoever. It was a landslide. Now, I am always careful in taking any one special election and saying this is how this is going to transfer over in November when everybody's on the ballot. But I do think it is another example, Roby, of what you and I have talked about on past shows, and that is how the total political landscape has just flipped in Arkansas since the 2010 election cycle. We saw what happened in November of 10. We saw what happened in November of 12. And this certainly shows that we live in now a true two-party state, which may be on the way becoming a red one-party state in the next few election cycles if things continue along the current trend.
You get a little pushback on that commentary there. I'll tell you the other thing that was interesting to me in that Cooper win, too, as well, was looking at some internal poll numbers that were released. Impact Management Group released some polling they did and just showed that Senator Bookout was toxic in that race up there, 3-1 negative to positive mm-hmm. In terms of favorability rating. I have to think that played out some in that race.
Oh, I agree. I agree it did completely. I think there's a feeling in Senator Bookout of, disappointment's the word I'll think of, and sadness, and yes, maybe some anger mm-hmm. there too. And with the person who happened to have a D after his name, as did Senator Bookout, that could not have helped the Rockwell campaign at all.
This is a theory that I'd like to test out this year, and we'll see. We've seen Martha Shoffner has obviously stepped down after the bribery charges have been brought forward to her by Highgate. We've got Mark Darr and the expense reimbursement there. There's an opportunity for the Republicans running for the treasurer's office, the Democrat running for the lieutenant governor's office, to say they are going to clean up those offices. Do you think that the other party that has held those offices has got a negative working against them like we saw with Bookout in that special election?
I think possibly that's the case. I still think the bigger looming factor is still the big Obama factor that we've talked about in the past. But I think you may see some of that. But I'm not sure how many voters necessarily go in and pay that much attention, frankly, to a lieutenant governor's race or a treasurer's race and remember, this person was of one party, so I'm automatically going to vote for the other party.
So you think Obama may be a factor in the treasurer's race?
I think the Obama factor goes down all the way down the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the factor that put a Republican in the land commissioner's office and a Republican in that lieutenant governor's office and a Republican in the Secretary of State's office back in 2010. Yeah.
Let's stay on some campaign finance numbers here. We saw some a big number posted by Mark Pryor in the Senate race. We've seen Mike Ross, Asa Hutchinson both announce their fundraising totals. Technically, federal candidates don't have to report till the end of this month.
That is
so we're
correct.
Seeing some early stuff there. But what do you see from the numbers that have been floated out there already? Competitive races in the fall, or do you think you see a fundraising advantage for someone?
Oh, I still think we see competitive races in the fall in the Senate race and the governor's race. We again know what we've already known, those of us who follow Arkansas politics, and that is that Mike Ross is one of the most tenacious fundraisers that has ever lived in Arkansas politics. I talked to one man who finally gave Ross a contribution after he said there were 7 message slips on his desk in a 36-hour period.
I have heard similar stories before, too, yeah. So anyhow, I finished train of thought there. I interrupted you.
So I think all the candidates are going to have the money they need to get their message out. I mean, there's not going to be a lack of money for Tom Cotton, certainly. It's not going to be a lack of money for Mark Pryor in the Senate race. But the same token, over in the governor's race, we're assuming that Asa Hutchinson is going to be the nominee. It's not going to be a lack of money for Asa Hutchinson or a lack of money for Mike Ross. Money's not going to be the critical factor.
BB presents his final budget as governor, as an elected official, the final budget he's going to preside over in a fiscal session, a little bit more than $5 billion. He's coming to your Political Animals Club. I want you to tout that event. But tell me what you think Mike Beebe's legacy is going to be in Arkansas politics.
Well, I'm glad you used the word budget, because I think Michael Beebe's legacy is going to be he was a very good manager. He was a very good fiscal manager at a time when a lot of states were struggling across the country. He was the governor during the Great Recession, the worst recession since the Great Depression. And he brought Arkansas through it very well. I think he has 2 legacies, and they're both good ones. I think is a good budget manager is one. I think also the ability to compromise, the ability to get along at the time we've seen this political upheaval. We didn't get into a real partisan stalemate between the governor and the legislature as much as we could have. There were obviously mm-hmm. differences, but as much as we could have, we could have been in a Washington situation where we could have just gotten nothing done with Republicans controlling the House and Senate for the first time in 138 years and a Democrat in the governor's mansion. Fortunately for all Arkansans, Roby, that didn't happen.
We got about 30 seconds left here, and so the private option with that election in Jonesboro really not helping the private option's chances of getting renewed funding, does it have serious problems?
Got problems, yeah. It makes, for those of us that cover it and watch it, it makes a budget session interesting all of a sudden. You know, the last budget session actually wasn't very interesting. We came in, we were gone a few weeks later. This one could be really, really interesting.
Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas talked to Rex Nelson about the upcoming political year this weekend. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, encouraging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information can be found at itcanwait.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas, diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity: coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And Mitchell Williams Law, providing diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Mitchell Williams Law Firm employs nearly 80 attorneys at offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.